Gucci. Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show, Football Friday, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. So we are live on 97.5 The Fanatic. We are live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Okay. They play the Rams Sunday. It's really not the story, right? I mean, we can all pretty much agree that an Eagles game against the Rams here, and trying to analyze on how the Eagles can win or set any kind of path to the Eagles win, is really shot in the dark thinking, right? So we'll talk about it, but really the story is what has transpired this week. And more conversation, I think, needs to take place, especially in light of how the head coach faced the music today or didn't face the music, depending on your perspective. And now, I just want to go over the possibilities of this. We know that Carson Wentz is not going to play in this game against the Rams, even though they haven't fully committed to this. They have to play these little games where, you know, the Rams have to prepare for both quarterbacks, all that kind of crap. I know the way teams work. He's not going to play this week. And my information is he's not playing the rest of the year. The medical staff has shut him down, okay? So to analyze this game with Nick Foles as the quarterback and try to come up with some pie-in-the-sky reason why they can win, to me, there's not much meat on that bone. So let's look at what has transpired, and let's go over the possibilities again on what has happened with Carson Wentz and the back situation. So here's the way I've come down with it. Number one possibility is that this fracture in his back, which is either compression fracture, stress fracture, however you want to term it, the back usually is called a compression fracture, other bones of the body, stress fracture, but whatever it is, and wherever it is, whether it's on the curved part of the vertebrae or on a little flange that sticks out, we don't know. But he's got a fissure in a bone, and it's very painful, and you can't play with it, and it takes rest to heal. It'll heal itself with calcification. All right. Either this happened a while ago, and all of them, including the quarterback, decided that he was good enough to play, that he was good enough to put up with this discomfort of it, even though he had a fracture. Now, probably a lot of quarterbacks play with this. A lot of quarterbacks play with pain. A lot of quarterbacks are banged up. It's not that big of a deal to send a quarterback out there if he can put up with the pain and the doctors have assured you that nothing more damaging can happen, which is what I'm thinking happened. Second possibility. This back soreness was actually a fracture that they did not diagnose. In other words, when he had this discomfort in the back and they put him on the injury list for a couple of weeks saying he had back soreness, that nobody thought to take an MRI or a CAT scan to determine what the problem exactly was, which I find hard to believe. Like, nobody did it until a few days ago. As soon as a guy gets injured, what do you do? What's the first thing you do? As soon as a guy is feeling discomfort, he tweaks his hamstring, let's say. What's the first move that the team usually does in the medical staff? They give him an MRI. I mean, you can't lose giving an MRI. It's better be safe than sorry. So I can't imagine that they had not gone given him these tests way back when he was suffering back soreness, that they would just slough it off. He's the franchise quarterback. If there's one guy you want to get the MRI and the CAT scan with, it's this guy to figure out what exactly is going on. But possibility that they did not do this until the situation got exacerbated. He got hit a couple more times last week. Then they decided to do it. All right, whatever that is. But here's the key element, and this is the number three possibility, that they knew that he had the fracture and that sending him out there to play with it was irresponsible. Now, how they justify that is kind of going back to number one possibility, that all parties felt that he could play with it, and all parties, especially the head coach and the coaching staff, was more comfortable with Carson Wentz as the quarterback as far as winning games than they were with Nick Foles. So we can kind of zero in on that, on whether the team was irresponsible sending him out there in a weakened condition. At the very least, it was a weakened condition because his back was bothering him. Finally, and I had to discuss this possibility, the staff and the doctor, because it was brought up yesterday, this was Jason Martinez's report, the staff and the doctor knew of the fracture, decided to hide it, didn't tell the player. Now, I will give you my opinion on this. I can't imagine that a doctor would risk malpractice, an organization would risk fraud and possible criminal prosecution by doing something like that. It doesn't make any sense to me. I have never heard of any doctor that would risk a multi-million dollar malpractice lawsuit that would put him out of business where he could actually lose his shield and at the very least pay these million-dollar premiums from this point on to get malpractice insurance. It just doesn't seem logical to me. So that's my statement on that. That's why I don't think that happened. But the other factors are a possibility. And when we listen to the head coach try to explain things today, I got to be honest with you, he didn't do himself any favors by stumbling and mumbling through this press conference to tell the press what exactly it was. He got belligerent. It's really an easy explanation. Listen, he was banged up. It's like every other quarterback. We thought, and he thought he was healthy enough to go out there and play and suck it up. So that's what that's the protocol we followed. It's a real simple explanation. He made it a lot more difficult today by stumbling and mumbling. Now, Tyrone, can we play, I guess, the back and forth he had with one of the Eagles beat writers? I guess it was Zach Berman. All right, let's play this. He first came out and said he wasn't going to talk about it. That's that. And he got belligerent. And then, obviously, the obvious questions come. You just can't get away with that. People are going to ask you about it. So here was the little back and forth.
But is there a risk of that?
Standard then throughout the season. If this has evolved over time, then it means he's been playing with an injury over time. So why wasn't that the standard when the injury first came on? Are you following what I'm asking?
Yeah, you're asking when it happened.
No, but for something
and
to evolve,
for something to evolve, it takes time. And when is that window? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
where is that window?
For something to evolve, it means it didn't happen this past week. Therefore, it's been evolving, like you said. So, from the time when it started evolving, why wasn't this identified then?
Because at the time, probably it wasn't identified as a stress injury or stress fracture, as you said.
Okay. So as you look at that from an organizational perspective, is there concern that you're having out there while this is getting worse?
No, because he was. There were no symptoms. He was 100%. He practiced. He was not on the injury report. You know. For this. So, yeah, no issue with that.
Well, that's just not the truth. It's not the truth. And I don't know why this guy or this organization makes it so hard to bring out the truth. He said, first of all, it probably wasn't diagnosed as a stress fracture. It probably wasn't diagnosed? Well, don't you know whether it was or not? That's A. B, no symptoms. What are you talking about? He was complaining about back soreness to the point where you put him on an injury list. He was 100%. No, he wasn't. He wasn't 100%. Now, if you want to say there are a lot of players that play this game without being 100%, that cures it. Answering questions like this means that there's some funny business going on. Do you not come to that conclusion? You listen to that. And he had a hard time explaining it to the point where he said it probably wasn't diagnosed as a stress fracture. He didn't even know what it was diagnosed as. Tyrone, clear this up for me.
No, I have to go with your first thought was that was he had the fracture, the team, Carson, the coach, everybody decided he was going to play with it. And now it's gotten to the point where he can no longer play with it. Or because of the loss to Dallas, they don't think it's prudent anymore for him to play with it. I think that him saying it probably wasn't diagnosed, I think that that's a lie, in my opinion. In my opinion, I think Doug is...
So you're getting from that this probably was diagnosed as either stress or compression fracture way back.
Way back. Everybody agreed. Mm-hmm. Because I know Natalie checked, and I know from my checking, every scan that he's had wasn't just looked at by the Eagles doctor. It was also looked at by his personal physician.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everyone was on the same page, and they decided to play with said fracture. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where it was like, you know what? Either it doesn't make sense for him to still play, or he can no longer play with the fracture. And I don't know why he didn't just say that.
Right. It would be illogical to think that they didn't put him through all those tests when this first came up as back soreness. I'll just say that. Is it possible they didn't? I guess it is, but it wouldn't be prudent for a medical staff not to test a guy for that kind of thing.
Doug mentioned in his press conference today that they tested Carson every week.
Okay. All right. Now, here's the big question for fans. If that was known, and he did have a fracture, was it irresponsible for them to keep playing him, or were they better off playing him, knowing that tough athletes suck it up? That's the question I think we need to ask the fan base. Was it irresponsible of them to keep sending him out there in a condition like that? And they weighed it, and they said, we have a better chance to win with this guy with the problem in his back than we do with this guy who's perfectly healthy. Irresponsible or not, Tyrone?
I don't think it is, no. Not if the injury...
And you don't... Why? Because everybody plays with injuries?
Everybody plays with injuries. We don't hear about all the injuries. The NFL... has come a long way. It's not where it needs to be as far as player safety. It's come a long way. They don't give guys shots anymore, for example, over and over again. They're better about it. I think this comes with the job. I bet you if you check Ben Roethlisberger right now, he's playing with a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact Cam Newton's playing with a bunch of stuff where it wouldn't necessarily be prudent to play. I think this just comes with the job.
Okay, but his performance was suffering. And that's the key thing here. See, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have a Nick Foles as a backup. Ben Roethlisberger has Josh Dobbs as a backup. It's more desperate for the Steelers to have to play Ben Roethlisberger for their playoff chances, where you can make the case that maybe the Eagles shouldn't have been that desperate to play a guy who was wounded, and maybe they would have been more competitive with the other guy. I'm not saying they would be. I'm just saying, was it irresponsible, that mindset, to send him out there?
I don't think it's irresponsible, but I do think, I think Nick Foles is going to shock the world this Sunday. So I do think he's a capable backup.
That's irrelevant.
That's irrelevant. Well, you're saying that he's
irrelevant to the subject.
I don't think it's irresponsible, no.
Okay, well then if you think Nick Foles is going to shock the world, then you do think it's irresponsible because you thought the Eagles would have a great chance with Nick Foles.
Not over a long stretch. Short burst. Over a long stretch, I think it's a mistake, yes. Okay. I don't think he's a 16-game quarterback or an 8-game quarterback or a 6-game quarterback. I think he's a 3-game type of quarterback.
They could have played him for 3 games and rested Carson Wentz for 3 games.
But if it's going to take months to get better, he wasn't going to heal. He'd have to play 6, and they would probably go 0-6.
Any time of time off is going to heal it. It starts to heal when you don't do anything.
Well, they said it's already starting
to heal. Well, there you go.
Well, maybe, but no.
So he would have been half-healed.
Yeah.
I just thrown out the question on what people think about this. The game to me is secondary to this issue. I could be wrong. The Eagles are a 12-point underdog, for crying out loud. I sit here and tell you how they can win? All right, let's go. Here are the numbers. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It is Friday. Brian Westbrook will join us from 4 to 5. It's the Mike Missanelli Show, live on 97.5, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
On 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. A lot of issues to talk about here with Brian Westbrook, not the least of which is the Nick Foles, Carson Wentz situation and whether the Eagles can pull this off and actually get to the playoffs. Let's bring him in, the great number 36, Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Landis Block. It's your jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Mr. Westbrook, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you?
Good, man. Hey, what are you feeling about this game? Right out of the shoot, what do your instincts say?
My instincts say that the Eagles don't have a chance. I mean, they're playing against a better team. You know, they score more points. Traditionally, they score more points. They have a better defense. And we're playing with our backup quarterback. So, and your first initial thought is that the Eagles have no chance. And we'll see how it turns out. But, you know, when you first think about it, it's going to be hard. You'll be hard pressed to find someone that says the Eagles will win this football game.
Well, I had some stats a little earlier. I'll just bring these up at the start. And they may not mean anything to you. The Eagles are 4-1. Straight up as an underdog over the last two seasons with Foles as the starting quarterback. That make you feel better?
That does not. I mean, it's certainly. I know the difference between the teams, but go ahead. I want to hear these stats.
All right. The other one is over the last two seasons, the Eagles actually have a better winning percentage of games Foles starts compared to the games Wentz starts.
Okay. I'm willing to accept that.
Now, the thing that trumps the whole thing is that as 11.5, 12-point underdog, the Eagles are the second-largest underdog as a defending Super Bowl champion ever.
Here's the deal, and I think you probably already know this, but if you look at last year's team, it's just totally different. The defense is much better last year. That was the difference maker. The defense was much better, and of course, the offense was playing with some type of rhythm way before Nick Foles got into the starting quarterback position. So, I mean, I obviously it's a different, whole different type of scenario going into this week, whole different season for Nick Foles and a guy that's been on the bench, you know, for a long time, which he did last year. We understand that, but the supporting cast around him is not as strong.
I agree. Foles took over an 11-2 team last year, which made it a little easier to do what he did.
Absolutely.
Okay, I got it. All right, now let's talk about the big controversy, which is defined the last couple of days. The quarterback being ruled out because he has a fracture in his vertebrae. Now, you are an NFL football player, and NFL football players, I don't know how you feel about trusting medical staffs, because a lot of guys these days will go outside the team's medical staff. So give me the perspective as an ex-player on what your relationship is with your medical staff on a football team.
Well, I'll start with mine because there's a lot of different perspectives. And I think my perspective was I spent a bunch of time with our medical staff. You know, I tore my ACL in 96. And so from the moment I started in the NFL, I had to get treatment before practice, after practice, in the morning time, in the evening time, you know, throughout my entire time. And so over the course of my time, I just spent a lot of time with those guys. And so I trusted those guys. And we went through a lot of different scenarios with all of my injuries. So I trusted those guys. Now, here's the other part. If it's a sprained ankle, a high ankle sprain, you know, regular sprained ankle, you know, you hurt your wrist, you hurt your arm. Of course, you trust those guys. But when you're talking about a bigger injury that's going to have impact, let's say an ACL, MCL, or they're not sure what they're seeing, of course you want to go get that second opinion. Of course you want to go see the best guy in the country for that particular injury. And I'll give you an example. When I tore up my knee, I went to go see James Andrews. He was the best guy in the country for that particular injury. Of course, you want to go to the best guy. That because at the end of the day, this is your body and your career depends on whether your body can take the punishment and pain throughout the way. And so I trusted those guys. Peter DeLuca, who was our doctor, Rick Burkholder was our trainer, Chris Peduzzi and all the other guys, Eric Sugarman, who's the head trainer out in the Vikings at this point, they were there as well. I trusted all of those guys. They had my best interest in mind while I was there. And so for me, I didn't have a big issue. Now, there were other guys that felt that some of our trainers didn't have their best interests in mind. Now, those guys were certainly quick to go get the second opinion. They were certainly quick to question everything that the trainer said. I wasn't one of those guys that the trainers just did a great job of me being able to put me back together so I can go back on the football field every single week. So I didn't have a trust issue with them at all.
I guess the question I'm follow up with is there an inherent mistrust that maybe the medical staff is not being 100% truthful with you? In other words, are they hiding some diagnoses? Is because they're beholden to the team, right? And they want their program, because they know what the team wants. They want the player to play.
Of course.
Do players ever feel that they're withholding a diagnosis?
I don't know that they feel that they're withholding the diagnosis. I think a lot of players feel that you may be pushing me back out there a little bit before I'm ready. But if you have to tell me what's going on, you have to tell me, hey, you have a torn MCL. And then the follow-up to that is, hey, you have a torn MCL, but you can't do any more damage to it. So if you can withstand the pain, then you should be able to play. Or the question is, and at that point you say, okay, I'm going to talk to my agent. My agent's going to tell me what he thinks is best. He's been through situations like this with teams before. He's going to tell me what I should be doing. And if his response is, hey, you just need to go get a second opinion to make sure that everything that they're saying is correct. Not that they would lie to you, but just everything that their doctors are saying, the same thing that the best doctor in the country is saying, then okay, that's what I'll do. But, I never had a situation where a team hid something from me so that I can go out there and play. It wasn't like that. They'll say, hey, Brian, you got a high ankle sprain. This is the deal. You got a high ankle sprain and you have to make a decision. Can you tolerate the pain so you can play the game?
All right, now that's a perfect segue into what I have, like an A-B equation. I'm trying to get to C. The A part of this is this fracture happened a while ago and they all decided, including the quarterback, that he was good enough to play on it. A lot of players play injured. The B part of it is that they did not test for the fracture. They didn't do the MRI or CAT scan, and they just relied on the fact that he had back soreness, and they allowed him to play for it. So what's the C part of it? What do you feel actually happened here?
Well, of course, I don't know the up close and personal view of what exactly would happen, but I could see a situation where Carson comes in, let's say on a Monday morning. Hey, listen, my back's a little sore. I got hit in my back during the game. It's a little sore. He gets some rehab, gets some treatment. And after Monday, he feels good. Tuesday, Wednesday, he feels good. He goes out there and practices and plays. He may need some treatment just to make sure that he's okay, but he's still able to practice and play. No problem at all. The other side to that is you may have some trainers that say, oh, my goodness, Carson Wentz has an issue. We need to get an MRI right away. Now, here's the point, Mike. Not every injury do you run to get an MRI on. Not every high ankle sprain, not every ankle sprain, every toe injury, every turf toe, you go get an MRI on. But if the player insists and it's something big enough and as, big of consequence, and I think this probably is. Then you say, okay, let's go get an MRI and make sure that you're all right. I think when you're talking back, now I will say this. I played with guys, I played with John Runyon. He broke his tailbone in the doggone hot tub. I played with other guys like Todd Harriman's that played with a fracture in their back before and didn't even know it probably until the end of the season. So I played with different guys that have gone through it, have had injuries and played through them. I played with a broken wrist my entire rookie year. And it's all about your pain tolerance and things like that. And, for sometimes, some guys just say, hey, my back is injured. My back is hurting. Let's get some treatment so I can go out there and practice. I have to believe Carson in this case said, I'm going to just get some treatment. I just want to be healthy enough to play. He had an itch and hunger to play, especially after missing the playoffs in the Super Bowl last year. And I just think he wanted to go out there and play no matter what the trainers or doctors
were. Yeah, and I agree with that. Here's where it gets a little dicey because, you know, you're saying that the stakes are really high if it's your franchise quarterback. You would think that they, no matter how much an MRI costs, a CAT scan, they would do it to determine.
Yeah, it's not about the cost at all. No.
Exactly. So, like, you know, this is a very valuable player. Let's see what's up. And if they did see what's up and they did see a little pars fracture, then was it irresponsible of them to keep playing him?
I think there are a lot of injuries in the NFL that if you see him in a regular person, you're saying go lay in a bed for 2 weeks. I think in the NFL, when you see some injuries and they say, okay, can you walk? Can you lift your leg? Can you jump? Can you do all these different things? If you can do those things and you're not in total pain and you think you can do them for 70 plays out there on a Sunday, then go out there and play. I think that happens every single week, every single day in the NFL. And in this case, the only difference is, and I think it's no coincidence of where Carson is at and where the team is at right now. If the team is winning, then I honestly believe that if something is not bothering him to the point where he can make it worse, Carson's out there playing no matter what. And I think that's what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And it may have gotten worse over the last couple of weeks with the amount of hits he's taken.
I don't know if you heard the part of the press conference today, but I want to play this for you and how Doug Peterson is trying to explain this thing, because I don't think he did himself any favors today. I think that the way he handled it, he kind of stumbled and mumbled. And so, like, I think it leads people to think, well, what's up here? Like, you know, we didn't get it. It's a really easy explanation. Everybody thought he was okay to play, including the player, and that's why we did it. But he kind of didn't say that. He kind of talked around it. So here's the, like, the go back and forth between a guy that covers the Eagles, Zach Berman, and Doug Peterson.
But is there a standard then throughout the season? If this has evolved over time, then it means he's been playing with an injury over time. So why wasn't that the standard when the injury first came on? Are you following
him, Andy? Yeah, you're asking when it happened.
No, but for
something and
to evolve,
for something to evolve, it takes time. And when is that window? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
where is that
for
window?
To evolve, it means it didn't happen this past week. Therefore, it's been evolving, like you said. So, from the time when it started evolving, why wasn't this identified then?
Because at the time, probably it wasn't identified as a stress injury or stress fracture, as you said.
Okay. So as you look at that from an organizational perspective, is there concern that you're having out there while this is getting worse?
No, because he was, there were no symptoms. He was 100%. He practiced. He was not on the injury report, you know, for this. So, yeah, no issue with that.
All right, Brian, first of all, he was on the injury report in October. Mm-hmm. And when he says he has no symptoms, he obviously had symptoms to go on the injury report. So he wasn't 100%. And his answer when he says, at that time, probably it wasn't identified as a stress fracture, is a weird thing to throw probably in there. It's yes or no. That's a yes or no. Probably means that, to me, that he did have the stress fracture, and he's trying to couch it somehow.
I mean, I don't know. Doug is not a trainer. He's definitely not a doctor. And I think we've seen over the course of time, Doug will misspeak and say some things that probably shouldn't be out there and probably should not have said. I think at the end of the day, this is probably what happened. This is just my opinion. You know, Carson had an injury at some point, whether week 7, whatever week it was, he had an injury. It was not as bad as it is currently. Over time, over the last 5 weeks, over the amount of hits that, you know, he's taken over the last however long since the injury occurred, it's gotten a little worse, a little worse, a little worse. Now you're at a point in the season where it's almost, you're almost to the point where you cannot make the playoffs, and it's just not worth it. The risk is not worth the reward anymore. And now Carson is going to say, hey, I don't want to make this any worse. And I think Doug and the medical staff are saying, I don't want to make this any worse. And now it's time for him to sit down because our playoff opportunity and chances are just not very high. It's not worth it for us.
All right, but they decided, even with this injury, they decided they were better off going with a Carson Wentz who may not have been 100% rather than go with the backup Nick Foles who won some games last year.
I mean, that's
a natural line of thinking for a team, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a natural line of thinking for everyone because, I mean, just imagine the second string guy. We've seen Nick Foles, and there's nothing against Nick Foles. Carson is just better. So, of course, you're going to go with the guy, your franchise quarterback, versus Nick Foles. That happens across the league as well. There's nothing different that's happening here in Philadelphia that doesn't happen across the league there, as far as that goes.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Don in Delaware. Don, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Don?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good.
My theory on Peterson. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, he stutter steps in his press conferences. You mean to tell me that he couldn't prepare, knowing what questions are going to come at him, to respond to these questions? And so now I move forward to the sidelines, and we're in the red zone, and he stutter steps. And I think it's almost a profile on Peterson, you know, that he somehow has difficulty thinking quickly on his feet. Do you think it affects his coaching abilities?
Well, I've actually agreed with you. I've said that for a while. He doesn't look like the best thinker on his feet. Now, I don't know if it's fair to tie what he said in this press conference to that result, but you might be on to something.
I like to deal with people who are crispy on their feet, quick thinking, and I think sometimes the way he's reacting, it's almost like, is this a reflection on his profile? Is this who he is? And maybe he's not professionally cut.
That's your view. It's not a bad tie-in because I have mentioned many times about how coaches that think on their feet would do some things differently. Brian, any thoughts on that?
I think that's an unfair unfair characterization. And I'll tell you why. When you're out there playing football, a lot of things, it's about your feel. It's your feel. And obviously, the whole press conference deal, that's a question and answer. And I'm sure, based on Doug's responses, at that point, especially in this press conference, he felt like he was being attacked. Mm-hmm. They want to know why, when did it happen, what did you do? And there's already been speculation that he did something wrong to begin with. So he was being attacked. I think that Doug's a good coach. I think that this year he made some decisions probably that he would do differently if he had another chance. But also, when you're coaching a guy that looks great, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. When Patrick Mahomes looks like the best quarterback in the league, guess who also looks like the best coach in the league? Andy Reid. Now, Doug Peterson is dealing with Nick Foles for the first couple games and injured Carson Wentz almost all season long. He doesn't look as smart anymore. It's a different story when your team's playing better. I think Doug Peterson, as a coach, still is a very good coach, but he has a team that did not play very well all season long. And I'm not taking any blame from Doug Peterson at all. I'm just saying when you're coaching winners, you look like a great coach. Things change when your team doesn't win the way that it did last year.
I get that, but regarding today's press conference, there's an A answer. Before he steps up to that podium, it's simple. Carson's been banged up, hence that's why he was on the injury list in October for his back, and you know, some things were balky back there. Quarterbacks do get banged up, but last week he took some hits, and this evolved into a more severe injury, as revealed by the CAT scan MRI, and we decided to shut him down. I don't know why it's so difficult. That's a declarative sentence that says, oh, okay, now I know what happened. But yeah, he like went on this revolving door somewhere with this issue.
Well, I think that the correct answer would be similar to yours, and I think that would be the ideal way to go. But again, that's coming from a talk show's host perspective.
Yeah, but they have PR people that can coach a guy.
But if you're the head coach of a football team, your perspective is simple. I want this guy out there to win. That's who I wanted out there. And if he could have got injured more, we wouldn't have played him. But if that didn't come into play, which apparently it didn't, then at that point, Levin's out there. Let him go run the offense.
Yeah, well, he could have said that too. And that would have been acceptable because most people understand that they'd rather have the first string guy in there. And players do play banged up.
Well, here's the other part, Mike. guess who when they walk into that auditorium doesn't necessarily think about, consider what's acceptable to me and to Mike Missanelli. I think Doug Peterson and the head coach, they don't think about that. Their thing is, listen, I'm about to get attacked. I'm just doing this because I have to. I don't want to be up here anyway. I'm going to give you the best answer that could get me out of this situation that I can. And I think you're right. I absolutely think you're right. He probably could have answered it better and differently. But what are you going to do?
Well, listen, I get it, but when you go out in a lake in a canoe, you better be able to know how to paddle that son of a gun. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. Absolutely.
All right. Jack in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jack.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, Jack?
Listen, obviously, we all play sports. If you have a coach that tells you, let's say you're a batter, and you go up and he tells you what you should do, hold your arms this way or tuck it in or whatever, and you go 6-for-6, man, you're on top of the world. Well, a coach doesn't show up the next two games and you go 0-for-7 because you revert back to what you used to do before and you hit 7 ground balls to the second baseman. Any smart person then would say, gee, maybe you go back and do what you used to do. In the 6 games, the Eagles have won. They've run the ball 25 or more times. In the 7 games they've lost, they have not run it as much as 25 times. And you've got Josh Adams there. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. Now, am I going to say that he's the same as Ezekiel Elliott? No. But he's averaging more yards per carry than Ezekiel Elliott, who's leading the league in number
of
yards.
What are you saying here? What's your main point here?
I'm saying is, give the damn ball to Josh and let him run the ball instead of 7 times in that game that he ran.
Jack, I noticed that you're from Bucks County, where Josh Adams went to high school.
Darn right. And he went to Notre Dame, too. Yeah.
Look, classic.
Homer
right
there.
Of course. I get that. I was sniffing that one out. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back. This is Brian Westbrook joining us until 5 o'clock. One open line, 610-620-9755. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.